his name, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And just for a few moments, I'm not going to keep you. I thought maybe you were going to keep candles in your hands today, so I won't keep you very long. But just for a moment, I want to preach this thought today that the light has come. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you just lift your hands right now? Would you just give God praise again? Amen. He can never be worshipped too much or too often, or his name can never be proclaimed too much. His name is worthy. His name is to be honored and praised in this house today. In Jesus' name, Lord, anoint your word today. Let your word be anointed today by the lips that I speak. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If I could get a little bit more monitor. Amen. It seems like I'm in a little bit of a box up here. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you for the water. My mouth is very dry. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, we've just come into the New Testament. At the close of the Old Testament, we find at the end of Malachi that the nation of Israel has seemingly reached a place where God has had enough. He's had enough of their disobedience, and he's had enough of their irreverence towards him. For centuries, Israel has turned their back on God, and then he was faithful. He would restore them, and then they would go and turn their back on him, and he'd restore them, and that cycle would happen again and again and again for centuries. And at this point, at the end of Malachi, the priesthood had become corrupt. Judah had been engaging in idol worship. They were robbing God in their tithes and their offering. And they began to continually doubt and to question God. God would ask them questions instead of just give a straight answer back to them. They would just throw an answer or a question back to God. They were stubborn and they were doubtful. They were looking at the nations around them, seeing how they were so blessed and how they were struggling. And they couldn't obey God because they looked at the prosperity of the unrighteous. And as he concludes the book of Malachi, he gives them one last promise that he would send a prophet whom we would come to find out was John, and he would turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the children back to the fathers. And from this point, from the close of Malachi until we come into Matthew, it has been 400 years of silence from God. 400 years of complete silence from God. God's word does not go forth. Four centuries. How often do we go a day or two and we think God's not listening to us, or God hasn't talked to us, or and they had to endure four centuries. Amen. The word of God was not heard among them. And without the word of God and the direction of God present among them, the people began to walk deeper and deeper into spiritual darkness. The political system reigned in darkness. The people of God had become subject to the oppressive rule of Rome. This is what Jesus was coming into. Herod was a ruthless ruler of the Jews, and he chose to gain the favor of Rome over his own people. He was a brutal man who had killed his own father-in-law and several of his wives and even two of his sons. He ignored the laws of God to suit himself and would kill anyone who he thought was a threat to his throne. The Jews had become taxed to a point that they could no longer carry the burden. God was no longer speaking, and the people became corrupt. The political system was corrupt, and the religious system was corrupt. Be careful that you keep the word of God in your life. Without it, you will be led into darkness. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto our path. Without the word of God, amen, it is darkness. You will get on the wrong road. You've got to keep the word of God in your life. Thank God for pastors, and thank God for preachers and teachers that proclaim the word of God. Of course, it hurts at times. It's the word of God, it doesn't feel good all the time. Because it's constantly at war with our flesh. It's at constant war with the desires of our flesh. Anybody got desires of flesh that contrary to the word of God? I'm number one. I admit it. I'm not afraid to admit it. I want to go this way, and God's saying, no, you're going that way. And the only hope I have is to stay in his word. Amen? Amen. But it's light. His word is light. If you want light in your life, you got to put the word of God in your life. Amen. And you can imagine that at this point of history that Satan was seeing all of the darkness that surrounded the earth and that was upon the earth, and how the people of God were oppressed, and darkness was just everywhere. And he must have thought to himself that he had finally won the war against God and his people. But though God had shut the door for a season, there was yet a promise to be fulfilled, that the head of Satan was to be bruised. And though silent, God was watching, and he was observing, and he was preparing for the ultimate redemption of mankind. God himself was about to robe himself in flesh, and he would come to earth and live like you and I, and he would face the temptations of the flesh, and he would face the infirmities that we feel. He would come and just be one of us, and he would overcome it just for you and for I. The time had come, and Gabriel gave the announcement, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." The greatest gift that humanity has ever been given came robed in flesh. This was no ordinary baby. The world would never be the same from this moment on. This was the birth of a promise foretold by Isaiah, that for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This was God, Almighty God of creation, coming to earth, manifest in flesh, coming to be one of us. This was Emmanuel, God with us. This was Jesus. Paul said it like this. He said, "For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Everything about God was in the man Christ Jesus. All power in heaven and in earth was given to the name of Jesus. Every bit of God's nature and every bit of his character was revealed in the name of Jesus. No longer was it Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider; Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer; Jehovah Shema, the Lord is ever present; the great I am. It was just all wrapped up in Jesus. When you say the name of Jesus, you're saying everything. It is the fullness. Jesus is the fullness of God bodily. Amen. It's all wrapped up in the name of Jesus. We are a blessed people. You and I that sit here today, we are blessed people to live in this dispensation of time and to be able to call upon the name of Jesus. To those that may be walking in darkness, it's a little dark in here, but I'm talking spiritually. You're walking in spiritual darkness. There is a light that wants to shine into your circumstance. And maybe you have never walked in light before. Maybe you have never partaken of the Spirit of God. Or maybe you have, but circumstances of life and the temptations of flesh have overshadowed your walk with God, and you find yourself sitting in darkness. It happens. We all are subject to it at one time or another. We fall off the track and we need to get back on. Amen. But the light wants to shine today. Maybe it's sickness that's ravaging through your body. I know that the light is here. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, is here to bring healing to your body and salvation to your soul. That is the reason. that we come and we gather and we sing songs of praise and worship, and we lift our hands and we dance because we are a dancing generation. We do that because we have the opportunity of salvation and healing, and God is so good and He's so merciful to us. So we come and we lift our hands and we express our praise, and if we get crazy, you might see somebody run an aisle. That's why we do it, because God came wrapped in flesh to purchase our salvation, and He is worthy of every expression of praise that we could give Him. We're tame. You read about David, we're tame. You haven't even started praising God yet here today. Amen. It doesn't matter what you're facing today. Neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a requirement. That name is a requirement. We can enjoy the name, but if you want to go further in God, you got to apply the name to your life. And why wouldn't you want to apply the name of Jesus to your life? Makes sense to me. Why wouldn't you want to partake of His name today? Amen. There is a name that is higher than depression. There is a name that is higher than cancer. And there is a name that is higher than drug and alcohol addiction. And there's a name that's higher than physical disabilities. And there's a name that's higher than mental disabilities. And there's a name that's higher than financial hardship. And there's a name that's higher than discouragement. There's a name that's higher than family crisis. And there's a name that's higher than condemnation. There's a name that's higher than demonic thoughts and hopelessness. And it's in the name of Jesus. So why don't you celebrate the name of Jesus just for a moment? Would you do that? Thank you that your name has all power. There is no other name higher than the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and of things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can leave changed today. You don't have to leave the same way you came, because you're in contact with the name of Jesus. Whatever you brought into this place, it's okay. If you walked in depressed, it's okay. If you walked in hurting, we're not here to bash you. It's okay, because you came to the right place. You came to the right place. I know you guys are doing a great job. It looks nice up here, and the lights are on. Well, some of the lights are on, and it's classy. You walk in. You've made the sanctuary. I've seen your picture up there. Keep the sanctuary beautiful. It's beautiful. But let's be serious. Spiritually, it's a place that's messy sometimes. The church is a messy place sometimes, because it's a place where you can bring your problems and your cares and your hurts and your anger and your fears and your doubts and your unbeliefs and homosexuality, and you can bring all kinds of sin. You got to bring it to Jesus. Jesus wants you to bring it to Him today. Jesus is not shunning anybody. He's calling people today. Come unto me, you that are weary. I want to give you rest. Yes, of course, He gives you the opportunity to leave a different way than you came. Of course, He cleans you up and He makes you look better. What kind of father would ever leave their son or their daughter in a mess? God doesn't do that. You come in a mess, God leaves you, let you go clean. Amen? Amen. Don't get caught up in suits and ties and whatever else. Come to church looking good, and I hope that everyone came in rejoicing, and I hope everybody walked in victory. But if you didn't, you came to the right place. Where else can we go but to the Lord? Yes, we are a group of believers. Are you a group of believers? Yeah. We believe that with God all things are possible. That's why everything that we do in the name of Jesus. We wake up in the name of Jesus. We put our feet on the floor in the name of Jesus. We pray for our food in the name of Jesus. We drive down the highway in the name of Jesus. Especially in the wintertime, we call on his name a few more times than in the summertime. Because we trust and we believe that name is going to take care of us. The name took care of your wife. We believe that. We go to bed in Jesus' name. I tuck my kids into bed in Jesus' name. Every night I proclaim the name of Jesus over them. We fellowship in Jesus' name. We gather together on Sundays and Wednesdays, and I think you do Saturdays and Thursdays or Fridays. Whatever time we come together, we do it all in the name of Jesus. We're Jesus' name people. Because there's no other name to celebrate except the name of Jesus. We give our time in the name of Jesus. We give our talent. When you put your money in the offering, don't do that haphazardly. Put that in Jesus' name. He wants to bless you. He wants to keep you. The name of Jesus. Whatever you do in word or in deed, the word of God says do what? Do it all. And the word of God says do it all in the name of Jesus. When you go to work or when you go for coffee or when you go for a play date or whatever you're doing, make sure you go in Jesus' name. Because if you don't, that's where gossip creeps in. And when you don't call on the name of Jesus, that's where talking and whatever else can creep in and your mouth can get away on you. But when you go in Jesus' name, it protects you. It keeps you. It satisfies you. Call on the name of Jesus. There is no limit to the name of Jesus. All the authority is in that name. In John chapter 2, water was turned into wine by the power of Jesus. In Luke chapter 5, it records that that he filled fishermen's nets by the power of his name. In Mark chapter 1, unclean spirits left in the name of Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, that also records that leprosy had to go in the name of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus healed centurion's servant just by speaking the word. Didn't even put a hand on him, just spoke the word. In the name of Jesus. The widow's son in Luke chapter 7 was raised from the dead. In the name of Jesus. Storms had to cease. In the name of Jesus. How many testimonies are in this place of healing and deliverance and protection? I'd imagine most of you have a testimony that you could tell of the saving power of Jesus. My wife and I were broke. It happens more often than we're rich. We had just moved to Fort St. John. And we moved away from Quesnel, actually. And we went up to Fort St. John, and we had run out of money. But I had an asset. I had this trailer that I had purchased in Quesnel to move all of our stuff because the sales guy told us, oh, metal is going up in value. And when you get to Dawson Creek or Fort St. John, he said, you could turn this around and make some money with it. I bought it. I didn't make any money with it. But I had this trailer, and I tried everything. I parked it at grocery stores, and I parked it, I don't know where. I parked it everywhere just trying to sell this thing because we needed the money. And I remember driving it up the highway somewhere to meet a guy because he wanted the trailer. And I got there, and now it's not the trailer he wanted. And I was doing everything to sell this trailer. And my wife and kids, they were in Kelowna visiting, or Penticton visiting her grandparents. This is about 10 years ago. And I was home alone one night, and I was just, I didn't know what to do. I needed money. And so I got a little bit crazy. I put on, I think it was the Pentecostals of Alexandria. They were singing Shake the Foundation with Praise. And I shut the curtains on in the living room. And I just began to dance around the living room. And I just began to praise God. And I remember getting down on my knees. And I just said, God, I'm pushing away every cloud of darkness right now. I believe your light is going to shine on me. And not a word of a lie, the phone rang. And a guy says, I need a trailer. Do you still have it for sale? I said, yes, I do. He said, I need it tonight. Can you give it to me tonight? I said, yes, I can. And he came a couple hours later, and I got the cash in my hand. pastor called 20 minutes later, and I don't talk to pastor very often. I really don't. He does his thing, I do mine, and we're, I don't know, we just don't talk a lot. We get along great. We work together all the time. I guess we just trust each other. But he called me that night. He's like, Aaron, I just felt to call you. How's things going? I was like, you're not going to believe it. I said, I closed the curtains, and I've been dancing around the living room like a fool. But God just answered my prayer. God just sold my trailer. There's power in the name of Jesus. The light wants to shine into your darkness today. The light has come. Jesus has come. A couple years later, we went through 5 years of faith testing. And at the time, I didn't really view it that way. But to look back, God did amazing things in our life through that first 5 years of being in Fort St. John that I tell you I did not enjoy one of them. But to look back, and now I have stories to tell, they're priceless. They're priceless. And a couple years after that had happened, I lost my sense of taste. And I lost it for almost a year. And I couldn't taste and I couldn't smell. Now, you might think that's not a big deal. You're dealing with it, aren't you? You might not think that's a big deal. But I'm telling you, when you're eating a cheeseburger and it just tastes like nothing, and everyone else is saying how good it, after a while, it's just, God, I want to taste this. And you can't smell anything. You can't smell anything. And I would get it back a little bit, and I would pray, and I'd get it, and then thinking I'm healed, and a day or two later, gone. And I'd pray again, and I'd go to work, and it would come back, and I'd be, oh, I got to eat my sandwich. I got to eat my sandwich while I can taste it. And I would tell the guys, they were heathens where I worked at that time. They were a bunch of heathens. It was Sodom and Gomorrah where I worked. It was gross. I'm not kidding you. It was gross. And their mouths were just vile. And I would say, God, just heal me. God, just give me back my sense of taste and smell. And by the time I got home, it was gone. God, I just testified that you had healed me. And now I'm having to go back. And it was on a Sunday morning. And I just, like I said, it was roughly a year. I don't know exactly how long, but it was a while. And I just got fed up one morning. And I think Matt McLaughlin was actually preaching. And he was preaching on faith. And I said, God, I'm walking up to that front, and he's going to lay hands on me, and I'm proclaiming healing. I went home after that service. I had a Wendy's cheeseburger. I'll never forget it. I tasted it, and I've tasted it ever since. When you decide you're sick and tired of darkness, and you want the light to shine, Jesus wants to shine his light on you. He wants to shine his light. You don't have to beg God to shine the light. You don't have to beg God to forgive you today. You don't have to beg God for nothing. He's a good father. God wants to do. He was born in this, something like that. He was born in that manger before you and I were ever born. He came and died and rose again. He did all of that before we ever showed up. And you think you're too far gone for God to do something with you? He knows everything about you. He knows every inner working. He knows every thought you think. He knows everything you're struggling with today, and you don't want to tell anybody, and you just think you're too far from God. If you can only understand how much God loves you today. He loves you. And he wants to do great and mighty, powerful things in your life. You just got to be sick and tired of darkness. That was the problem in the end of Malachi. They weren't sick of darkness. They wanted it. If you want darkness, God will let you walk in darkness. He's not going to. He'll let you do it. He's not going to mess with your will. You can do whatever you want. But if you want the light to shine, and he wants to shine the light in your life today, he desires to move in your situation today. He desires it. And man, if you have walls in your life that need to come down, he wants to tear down those walls today. If you need freedom, he wants to give you freedom. Amen. If you need peace, he wants to give you peace. Do you understand that? God wants to do this for you. Amen. God doesn't want you to live in sin. God doesn't want you to live in struggle. I understand there's times of testing, but in times of testing, you have peace. And if you don't have peace, that means you're in darkness. If you need a financial breakthrough, God wants to break through. He wants to. He can reach you wherever you are today. You're not too hidden. You're not too broken. You're not too far from God. If you're here, He's here. Amen. And if you're there, wasn't there a guy in a pig pen somewhere that came to himself? How did he come to himself? Because God allowed him to have hope. God allowed him in a pig pen to feel hope. He knew where to turn and go to. If you're there, He's still there with you. What or who? Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that hath loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah. It's all in Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn us. He didn't come to condemn us today, but that the world through Him might be saved. He came because He loves us. He came because He wants to give us hope. He has provided every means that you and I need to overcome today, to live in victory, to live as conquerors. He has provided everything for us by the power of His blood. Yes, we have gathered to celebrate a baby today, but it's more than a baby in a stable. He came to give us life and more abundantly. He came to give us His name. He wants to put His name upon you today. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life. Yes, yes, yes. The life that He lived, the life that He was about to give, it was the light of man. And it is the hope of man. Jesus gave us a clear example, maybe you can come, of how to live an abundant life. Everything that you need, the Word of God. You in darkness, pick it up. You can walk in light. It's not difficult. You just got to pick it up and walk in the light. He gave us every example of how to have abundant life. It's in here. We just got to search the Scripture to find it. And then He purchased back our ability to live abundant life with His very own precious blood. He came so that He could die. That's essentially why He was born. He was born that He would die, that we would resurrect to life. We are partakers of the life that He lived. Every temptation that He resisted, everything that, every infirmity that tried to attach itself to Him, it could not. And that is why baptism is so important. Because you're partakers of the life that He lived. When you are buried in baptism, it's His own blood He sees upon you. It's not your faults. It's not your failures that He looks at. When you're baptized and you're living repentant, listen, don't confuse love. God loves us no matter what. But we have the opportunity to repent because He loves us. That's what love does. It gives us the chance. When we fall, we pick ourselves back. When we fall, you're going to fall. I fall every day in one way. I fall. you're going to fall. But love allows you. God, I recognize that was wrong. God, that was my flesh. God, I understand I shouldn't have done that. God, I repent. God, I'm going to do my best. And I fall again, and I pick myself back up, and I turn my life around, and His love allows you to, you got to live repentant. It's a fight of faith. Nobody ever said this walk was, I'm not here to say it's easy, but I'm saying He's provided the light. He's provided the way that you can see, that you can live, that you can walk. He's given you every tool to overcome. He's given you everything. He's given you everything. So I ask you today, why don't we all stand? Are you living in abundant life? That's the simple question. I'm not here to judge you. No one's here to ask you. I'm asking you, but I want you to just answer for yourself. Am I living in abundant life? Or does darkness loom over every step that I'm taking? Does darkness loom where I'm sitting at home? Does darkness just seem to be following me to work? Does darkness just surround me? The light is here. The light is shining. Are you willing to push back darkness? Are you willing to say, God, I literally did it. I said, God, I'm pushing away. I did it like this. I'm pushing away darkness, God. Everything that the enemy's trying to put up against my mind, and the doubts and the fears and the feelings that I'm not good enough, that you'd want to answer my prayer. God, I'm pushing that darkness away. You can push back darkness today. You just got to pick up the light. You just got to pick up the light. I wonder today if all of us, it's Christmas. Christmas is a time of family. It's a time of togetherness. I wonder if we would all just come together around the platform this morning. If we would all just make our way. If you're a guest here today, we're not going to embarrass anybody. I'm just asking if you would just gather in. Would you just press in? I didn't keep you very long. I think it's all right if we just take a few minutes and pray. If you just step ahead, guys. I know it's crowded. Just everyone step in here. Let everyone in the aisles come in. I'm just going to ask you to do one simple thing today. One simple thing. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hands, and I just want you to say, God, I want the light to shine. I want the light to shine, Jesus. I want the light to shine, Jesus. I want the light to shine in my marriage. I want the light to shine in my work. I want the light to shine in my mind. I want the light to shine in my relationships. I want the light to shine, God, in those dark places, God, that I've allowed in my heart today, God. I want the light to shine, Jesus. I confess before you, God, I've made a mistake, God. It's my fault, God, why I'm here today, God. But your love, God, gives me a chance today to turn things around, Lord. Let your light shine in me, God. I'm tired of the darkness, Jesus. I'm tired of the fear, God. I'm tired of failures constantly ravaging my mind, God. I just want the light. Let the light shine. You came to shine into darkness, Jesus. That's why you have come today. And that's why I am here today, Jesus. I want the light to shine. I want the light to shine.
God of all creation, here with us. In the star-lit manger, Emmanuel, light of the world, here with us. Oh, adore. Come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore Him, the Lord. Worship Christ the Lord. Let all that is within us adore. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders, the world has ever known.
It's time for thanksgiving. It's time
above
for
all
praise. It's time
and treasures of the earth.
It's time for that baby to be born.
There's no way to measure by.
Change joy. Today we baptize Pat Tanner, sister, Holland sister, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bible studies and services, she says she's made the decision to move forward, to go ahead. Let that light so shine in her heart. Bible says that let the light shine. Let your lights shine before men that see your good works, but glorify your Father. Lights in the darkened world. Light that set our will cannot be hidden. Amen. It's so important for us. Everywhere you go, whoever you talk to, whatever company that you're in, remember who you represent. Another baby's about to be born. Your brother-in-law, he hit the cold button instead of the hot. It's such a privilege today to gather together at this occasion. Birth of a brand new baby, a child of Christ. Yeah, one step at a time. Let's take it.
us to live our life in Him. Aren't you glad the light came into your life? Think about it. Go back to the day when you repented of your sins, when you were baptized in Jesus' name. Go back to your new birth experience. Thank you, Brother Aaron. Boy, that was awesome. Enjoy that very, very much. Let's make sure before you go home that you greet one another. Greet one another. Merry Christmas. We're not going to leave. We're going to give Sister Patricia her baptismal certificate. Give us a minute, but make sure you greet one another. Greet them Merry Christmas, and we'll look forward to our coming. There's no service Wednesday, but our final service for this year is going to be Sunday at 1 o'clock. Everybody say 1. 1, not you. And what do we do 30 minutes before our service? Pray. So prayer is at 12:30. Service is at 1. Amen. So I want to make sure we do that. And don't forget to greet Sister Pat. Welcome her to the family of God. Anybody have a testimony? You want to share something? Brother James? Please make sure that you keep Sister Robin in your prayers. God is miraculous, and I 100% believe that He is with us and is continuing to be with us. But we want to keep her in our prayers, and then we want to pray for, of course, Brother Ricky and Savannah and Nolan. Angels that encamp around you. The Bible doesn't tell you you're never going to get into trouble, you're never going to get hurt. You know what? You want to have a revelational thought while we're waiting? Everybody that Jesus prayed for died. Yep, sure did. Otherwise, we'd have a whole lot more population to do it. So, just because I'm water baptized, Holy Ghost filled, doesn't mean I won't face a trial. Brother Aaron said, I'm not going to go through a darkened valley, but you know what? The lights come. And I remember one time in my life, many years ago, just a young Christian, probably not even 5 years in the church, going through a really, really tough time. And I don't remember where I heard it, who told me, but told me to kick the devil out of my house. And it wasn't my wife. Don't get silly. Told me to kick the devil out of my house. And so I got right down bold, and I remember opening up the door, and I everything I had in my lungs, and it was broad daylight, and I thought, we're going to have the RCMP, and we're going to have a domestic dispute, and I'm going to get taken away in a rubber van and all kinds of stuff. But I kicked him out of the house. He shook the curtains and danced while I opened the door and kicked the devil out, because he was driving me crazy. Everybody crazy? Kick him out. You know the best way to never stop the devil from drowning? Don't take your foot off his head. You want the devil off your lap? Stand up.
Joy to the world. Joy to the world. The Lord is.